In the early part of World War II, a Navy submarine was stuck at the bottom of the harbor in New York City, and it seemed like all was lost. There was no electricity, and the oxygen was quickly running out. In one last rescue attempt, to get these sailors from this kind of steel coffin, the U.S. Navy sent a ship equipped with Navy divers to the spot on the surface that was directly above where the submarine was. A Navy diver went over the side of the ship to the dangerous depths just in one last attempt to rescue them. The trapped soldiers heard the metal boots of the diver land then on the exterior surface. And so they moved to where they thought the rescuer would be. And in the darkness, they tapped in Morse code, "Is there any hope?" The diver on the outside, recognizing the message signaled by tapping on the exterior of the sub, "Yes, there is hope." This is the picture of humankind's predicament. We are trapped in a dreadful situation, like the sailors in the submarine or birds in a cage, poked, rattled, broken, doomed to die. All around, we're running low on hope, and we look for a word from beyond, offering it to us, wondering, is there any hope? It's the empty tomb of Jesus that we celebrated 2 weeks ago, that we sang about this morning, that gives us hope. You know, each month we celebrate communion and we focus on Christ's death, and this is so important. Yes, Jesus tells us that we need to do this and to not forget his sacrifice. But we also need to keep ever before us the resurrection. 1 Peter 1:3 tells us, "Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." Our hope is centered in the person of Jesus Christ. Resurrection challenges everything. The door has been flung open, and we are set free. Hope has come. Well, what then is this living hope that we have through the resurrection of Christ? This morning, I want to highlight three areas of hope that the resurrection brings. Hope not in, well, I hope so, but hope in that we have assurance. We have the hope of overcoming, the hope of forgiveness, and the hope of heaven. So first, let's look at the hope of overcoming. The resurrection doesn't mean that right now, you know, everything's perfect and, yeah, it's all rosy, it's all good. If you look at the discourse on the Mount of Olives, you know, it makes it clear that the resurrection, Jesus' followers would be living in a time of troubles. We're told that there will be war, persecution, betrayal, tribulation, and deception. Our hope, even in the midst of these troubles, is that victory is won. Sometimes we can doubt this. You know, just think of all the people that were prayed for this morning, people in our congregation that are struggling with health issues. And there are so many financial stresses with all the rising costs of food and gas and housing. Or people grappling with hurts, disappointments, and broken relationships. The difficulties can be overwhelming. John 16:33 says, "I have told you all this so that you may have peace in me. Here on earth you will have many trials and sorrows, but take heart, because I have overcome the world." 1 John 4:4, "You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world." The Greek word translated overcomer stems from the word nikao, which means to be victorious, to conquer. God does not leave us defenseless. Through the Holy Spirit, we have the power to overcome any attacks of the enemy. As Romans 8 says, "Despite all these things, overwhelming victory is ours through Christ who loved us. As you look at the Gospel of Mark, he wrote for those who did not experience Jesus' physical presence, certainly something that we can relate to. And in a commentary about Mark's gospel, David Garland comments, Mark writes for those who may feel like the disciples, struggling against the wind in a tiny skiff during the dark hours of the night and feeling acute anguish because Jesus is not physically there to be touched or to give a word of assurance. In a setting of withering persecution, things look ambiguous. The risen Jesus does not materialize bodily in our midst. Angels do not descend to give reassuring reports. We have to believe in Jesus' resurrection based on hearsay evidence. It's like hearing the tap on the submarine, trusting that, yes, hope has come. 1 John 5:5 tells us, who is the one who overcomes the world? But he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God. Christ has defeated the darkness. He's paid the price to the one who wants to keep us in a cage. The one who died for us, who was raised to life for us, is in the presence of God at this very moment, praying for us. The resurrection shows that Jesus has won the victory. In him, we can overcome all the challenges that come our way. We have the hope of overcoming. The second hope that we have is that of forgiveness. Our hope includes the knowledge that God forgives us. In Mark 16, verse 7, after Jesus is resurrected, there is a significant announcement that is made by an angel. Go and tell his disciples, including Peter. Peter had walked with Jesus for 3 years. He knew Jesus intimately. He watched as Jesus performed miracles. And on the night of the Lord's Supper, Peter told Jesus, well, even if the rest of them leave you, I never will. But Peter denied Jesus, letting him down. He had boasted that he would stand by Jesus, but when things got tough, he turned away. And then here is this wonderful comment, specifically mentioning Peter. Jesus wanted Peter to know that he was still a child of his, and he wants Peter to know that he is forgiven. No matter what we have done, God offers forgiveness. What an incredible hope. Ernest Easley tells the story of a time that he and his sister were going through some of their father's belongings after he had passed away, and he came across his dad's seventh grade report card from 1941. My daughter and I actually did this, and she looked at some of my report cards a while ago. But this report card showed the grading scale on the back of it, and it had A, B, C, D, and F. And then there was something that they had never seen before, the letter G. Well, there was a grade that you could get below an F for failure. Well, what could be worse than an F for failure? Well, worse than an F was a G. And out beside the letter G was one word of explanation: hopeless. Peter had failed. We fail. But we are not hopeless. What is hopeless is life without the resurrection. In the world these days, they want to just, you know, tone down the whole resurrection story, but it cannot be done. Through the power of God conquering sin and death, we are offered a new start. Forgiveness is offered. We are free to begin anew. No matter how many times we have failed, we can so easily become trapped in sin, battling even the same sin time and time again, and sometimes maybe reach the point thinking, we're never going to escape, like the men in that sunken submarine or birds in a cage, just trapped forever. But 1 John 1:9 reminds us, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We see that with God, failure is not final. It's not hopeless. He never grades us with a G. We are to humbly and consistently turn to God for help. Resurrection proves that we can have a new life. Romans 6:4 tells us, just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. I saw this demonstrated this past week when I attended the graduation for New Story. New Story is an 8-month program on Keats Island for Indigenous women. Some of you may have been here a while ago. Several months ago, they came, and one of them actually at the end of the service got up and shared with us. It really is an incredible program. And at this graduation, it was so powerful, and Rob and Kathy can attest to this, just to hear their stories, hearing about their heartache and the lifestyles that they were trapped in, and then the freedom that they have now experienced in Christ, that they have stepped into this living hope, knowing forgiveness, knowing freedom. When I did the narrative as Mary on Easter, I noted how Jesus sees us, if you were here. Well, in the message that Mark Buchanan brought for this graduation, he made the comment of how Jesus sees these women and how these women now see Jesus. And I thought about Larry's picture last week with the, you know, the little baby ducks following their parent, and his comment of us keeping our eyes seeing Jesus. And I heard a song this past week called Broken Vessels that I think conveys this all so well. Oh, I can see you now. Oh, I can see the love in your eyes. Laying yourself down, raising up the broken to life. You take our failures, you take our weakness, you set your treasure in jars of clay. So take this heart, Lord. I'll be your vessel, the world to see. He sees us, and as we see him, we walk in newness of life. Colossians 1:13 to 14 tells us, for he has rescued us from the dominion of darkness and brought us into the kingdom of the Son he loves, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins. We have the hope of forgiveness. And the final hope that I want to highlight this morning is the hope of heaven. We have this hope here and now, but we also have hope in the hereafter. An assurance that death is not the end. We read in 1 Corinthians 6:14, and God raised the Lord and will also raise up by his power. For, you know, a lot of history, mankind has kind of been unsure whether there really is life after death. And even today, many claim that this life is, that's all there is. But because Jesus rose, we have a hope in the certainty that we too will rise again. We too will live again. In 1 Peter 1:3 to 4, it says, all praise to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is by his great mercy that we have been born again, because God raised Jesus Christ from the dead. Now we live with great expectation, and we have a priceless inheritance, an inheritance that is kept in heaven for you, pure and undefiled, beyond the reach of change and decay. Jesus said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. What a place that will be. A place where there's no more tears, no more pain, no more sorrow. When Lazarus died, Jesus said to Martha in John 11, I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me will live, even though they die. And whoever lives by believing in me will never die. Do you believe this? Do we believe this. Because of Jesus' resurrection, we have a certain hope that one day we will live again. Because he rose, we know death is not the end. We know that God forgives. And we know that he has won the victory. Evil does not win. We began this morning with singing the song Amazing Love. Because of his unending love and amazing grace, we are set free. Our chains are gone. We are ransomed. Our hope is secure. We don't have to be stuck in a cage or trapped in a submarine. We are set free to a living hope. So may we walk in this hope today and forever, seeing that the door is opened. So let us fly free. Let's pray. Oh, thank you, Lord, for your amazing grace. That, yeah, you chose to forgive us, to set us free, and to make all things new. Thank you, Lord, for the victory and the power that is available in your name, giving us the same resurrection power to live free from sin and death, and to have life with you fully alive. Thank you, Lord, for holding the keys over death, that by having raised from the grave, you not only set us free and forgive us, but pave the way for us to have new life with you here and now and forever. To you be the glory and honor forever. In your name, Jesus, amen.